Prologue. The face in the blood. The first thing Damon Kidley remembered was the sound. Not the scream. Not Maurice yelling. Not the wet crack of her head against the curb. The sound. Somewhere nearby, maybe from an open window, maybe from the car she had just stepped out of, music had been playing. Not rap. Not the kind of bass that rattled loose change in a door panel. Not the dusty soul records one of his foster mothers used to play on Sunday mornings while she fried potatoes and cursed at the gas bill. This was different. Strings. That was the word, though he did not know it then. Strings rising in the dark like something trying to lift the whole street off its knees. Damon saw her face every night. Sometimes she was looking at him. Sometimes she was looking past him. Sometimes her eyes were closed, and that was worse, because then he had to imagine the moment they shut. She had been pretty. Not pretty like the girls on Maurice's phone, all gloss and angles and little hearts floating around their heads. Pretty like somebody's favorite teacher. Pretty like somebody who read books on buses and remembered strangers' names. Pretty like she belonged in a part of the city where the trees had iron fences around them, and nobody left chicken bones in the gutter. She had smelled like rain. That was stupid. People didn't smell like rain. But in the dream, she always did. Rain and perfume and blood. Move, yo, Maurice shouted. Damon tried. He always tried. His feet never worked right in the dream. The street stretched long and black beneath him, slick with gutter water, glittering under the corner light. The row houses leaned in on both sides, watching. Windows watched. Parked cars watched. The whole block watched, but nobody came outside. Nobody ever came outside when it mattered. Maurice's hand clamped around his arm. Kid, let's go. But Damon was staring at the woman. Her purse had spilled open. Lipstick. Keys. A folded paper. A little black notebook. A CD case cracked near the curb. The kind of things a person carried when they believed they would be alive later. Blood crawled from beneath her hair. Slow. Thick. Too red under the yellow streetlight. Damon heard himself breathing. He heard Maurice cursing. He heard tires hissing over wet pavement somewhere far away. And under it all, still the music. Those strings. They were beautiful. That was the part that made him sickest. Something beautiful was playing while she died. Kid! Damon dropped to his knees. He did not know why. He had not meant to. His body folded before his mind gave permission. His hands hovered over her, useless and shaking. He was 15, but in that moment, he felt younger than that. 9 maybe. 7. Small enough to believe adults knew what to do, and monsters only came out after bedtime. Her lips moved. Or maybe they didn't. In the dream, they always did. He leaned closer. What? Her eyes found his. Not angry. That was worse too. If she had looked angry, he could have carried that. If she had cursed him, hated him, spat blood at him, he could have made himself into the villain and live there. But she only looked confused. Hurt. Afraid. Human. Jamie, she whispered. Or maybe that was a name he learned later, and his mind kept shoving it backward into the night. Jamie. The music swelled. A violin rose above the others, thin and bright, like a wire pulled tight enough to cut skin. Damon fumbled in his pocket for his phone. Maurice saw him. The hell you doing? She need help. She need you to move. Damon's thumb slipped on the screen. His hands were wet. He told himself it was rain. It was not raining. Not yet. The air was heavy enough for it, but the sky still held. He pressed 3 numbers. 9. 1. 1. Maurice hit him hard across the back of the head. For a second, the world sparked white. Damon nearly dropped the phone. He curled over it, protecting it like it was a baby bird. A woman's voice answered. 911. What is your emergency? Damon opened his mouth. Nothing came out. Maurice stood over him, wild-eyed. You stupid? You trying to die too? The woman on the phone repeated herself. Damon looked at Jamie. Her fingers twitched against the pavement. He placed the phone in her hand. That was what he remembered most. Not the blood. Not the crack. Not Maurice dragging him backward. Not the strings or the lights or the terrible softness of her voice. Her hand. Warm. Weak. closing around the phone because he made it close. As if that counted. As if that fixed anything. "Run," Marie said. Damon ran. The music followed. It chased him past boarded windows and corner boys and the carryout with the bulletproof glass. It chased him through alleys, over broken bottles, around trash cans fat with summer stink. It chased him until his lungs burned and his legs went numb. Then the rain finally came. Hard. Sudden. Mean. It washed the street behind him, but it did not wash him. It never washed him. Damon woke with a gasp, one hand clamped over his mouth, the other gripping the edge of the thin mattress like he was about to fall off the earth. For a moment, he did not know where he was. Then the room came back. The foster room. The cracked ceiling. The dresser with one missing drawer. The radiator coughing like an old man who smoked too much. Somebody's baby crying in another room. Baltimore breathing outside the window. Damon sat up slowly, sweat cooling on his neck. On the floor beside the bed, his beat machine waited in the dark. Small. Cheap. Scratched up. His. He reached down and pressed the power button. The pads glowed faintly. Blue. Red. Green. Little city lights. His fingers hovered over them. From somewhere deep in his skull, beneath the fear, beneath the guilt, beneath the memory of Jamie's hand closing around the phone, he heard the strings again. Only this time, they had a beat.